It is so bizarre to me that we have this weird thing whereby we expect everybody to be perfect. Yet tonight you go to dinner with somebody and you get into a conversation and the first thing somebody says about like some mishap is, nobody's perfect. Yeah. Or I'll never be perfect. So you can't expect them to be perfect. But when it comes to business, man, do we have these expectations of perfection rather than failing forward? I think, for myself, speaking for myself, I learn so much faster when I fail. I have a love-hate relationship with failure because I hate the way it feels in the moment it's happening. But boy, do I love the result, the conclusion, the ideas, the strength, the learning, the wisdom that comes as a result. And so it's this love-hate relationship. But I love what you said, dealing or working through something politely, understanding that because none of us are perfect, we can only aim for progress. And day by day, progress, you know, I say this to people that I do consulting with or coaching with, where they get overwhelmed because they don't feel like they're stacking up to, you know, I imagine a lot of people can relate to everything that you've talked about, this hard knocks way of getting into the business. And I think, you know, you serve as a kind of a messenger of hope, like, oh man, he did it. I feel like I can do it now too, which sounds like is ultimately your mission. But understanding that there's a lot of failure and there was a lot of small steps in there. Like, don't discredit the small steps. Small steps compounded are what amounts to the Marco you are listening to today. And so taking those small steps forward. Now, having said that, 2020 has been one heck of a massive step. And people are still looking to navigate uncertainty. There was lingering uncertainty pre-pandemic in the form of big disruptive players that you've brought up here, like Uber, Airbnb, Netflix. We talk a lot about Carvana and their model. There's two sides to that coin. There's those that say, yeah, it sounds all great on paper, but they haven't made any money yet. And then there's those that think that, you know, a magical stork drops a coin off on your doorstep that you can go buy a car from a vending machine. So let's talk about disruption. Let's talk about some of the things that you're seeing from your vantage point. Obviously, you are in a position where some people have the opinion that you're not going to exist in 5 years because of all this disruption. There's others that say, no, there's going to be car sales professionals in the year 8,000. Like, we're, you know. So what's your vantage point? Where are you coming from on this? And I guess the loaded part of this question is, what can I do today to step into this in a much more prepared way?
So my vantage point is this. Ever since I got in the business, and probably 10 years before that, people have been saying the salespeople are going to be a thing of the past. And yet here we are having a conversation about sales. So I don't think that you necessarily can make this position disappear. And if we could, Carvana would already have 90% of the business, which they don't. They actually have the smallest part, right? And the reason being, it's because, you know, I work, you know, most days, 10, 12 hours a day. And I work really hard for my money and what I make. And when I go into a place to spend my money, like I'll make a good example is I bought a gift of it's called a pizza peeler. I had no idea how intricate it was, but it's something that you use to take the pizza in and out of the oven. Family member got a pizza oven. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
They were struggling with it. I recognized that the wood one wasn't working. I go into the Adamson's barbecue, I think it was, or one of the barbecue places that also sells ovens, and I talked to a salesperson because they had no idea. I don't want to go online and watch 15 YouTube tutorials for 2 hours.
Hey, I don't have the time. This is how I use my pizza peeler.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't have the time or the energy to go through that, even though I watch my YouTube videos at a higher speed.
Yeah.
But I wanted to go inside and talk to a human being and have me explain that this one has grooves on it and it's got holes, so the flour comes out of the bottom and the grooves let the pizza slide into the oven easier. And like, he gave me all the pros and cons and the length of the handle and how long it should be. And I love that. I'd look for people like that. When I go in, I want to be sold when I walk somewhere and I go and spend my money.
Right.
Not so much because I need a reason to spend my money. Chances are there, I'm 50% of the decision there. I'm already sold on the product. Otherwise, I wouldn't have walked into your store.
Right.
I found a need for it in my life that I need it. And basically, all you have to do is give me the pros and cons, the benefits on the spot, and whether or not I should reach for my wallet at that point.
Yeah.
So
you're like me, a complete and total lay down.
I'm a huge lay down. Massive. I've already done most of the work. You just got to be nice to me and give me the pros and cons. That's it. Like, for me to walk away without spending money, you must have been horrendous. Like, you must have disappeared for an hour.
Right.
Just half an hour, I'll still wait for you. Going, where did he go? I still want to buy this. But yeah, no, I'm a total laydown. And most people are nowadays, because I'm not the one that has the time, but most people have. Like, I have a good client of mine that actually reached out to me on LinkedIn and just bought a car for me on Saturday, and he's watched all the videos. He texts me constantly, not in an annoying way by any means, but like in a happy, like excited, like, yeah, I just bought this car. Like, what do you think of this body kit? What do you think of this? What do you think of that? Do you know anybody that does this and that? Like, I want to modify it. I want to make the car mine. And you know, that's what we're really there for. If cars were boring, and you know, like, you don't need a salesperson to sell you a Metro Pass, or you know, anything, or one of those cards. Like, it's just, but you do need a salesperson to sell you a complicated machine. Now, when it comes to Audi, for example, nobody needs an Audi. People want an Audi. So you get into the customization level of these cars and what kind of trim you're going to put in the interior. Are you going to go carbon fiber mirror covers? Or are you going to go 19, 20, 21, 22 inch wheels? How do you want to personalize this purchase that is yours? Not to say that Honda, Toyota, Nissan, Volkswagen don't have that. They still have that because people have a special connection with the car and they want to make it theirs, like their homes.
Yep.
But at the same time, it's, you know, I've read online that it's got a 2-liter turbo, but I want to go on a test drive and see how that feels. So I think that, you know, one of the things that I believe should happen or could happen or is in the cards is test drive centers, for example. Mm. If people don't want to, a lot of people that I find, you know, working in the industry for this long, is the fact that people don't want to necessarily talk to a salesperson when they're early on in the process. They want to test drive, you know, they've might have narrowed it down online to 3 vehicles, and all they want to do is come in and test drive it, test drive each one of the cars, and you find roadblocks. And that's what you find in dealerships is, you know, like, you come in, if you were to come into my dealership tomorrow and say, I want to drive an RS3, and that's it, that's all you want to do, I'm like, okay, I'll grab you the keys to an RS3, we're going to go outside and we're going to drive an RS3, because that's what you asked me for. But a lot of salespeople, unfortunately, they put roadblocks like, oh, well, why do you want to buy an RS3? Why do you want to drive it? They don't understand that person has spent 15-20 hours researching it.
Yeah,
totally. Qualifying questions, right?
Yeah.
So if just same thing online, if they send you a lead and they say, I need the answers to these questions, answer the questions and then go into asking a question back, right?
This is why I don't know if I'd be a good car sales professional, because I think my qualifying question would go something like this. I'd be like, hey, thanks so much for coming to Audi Queensway. My name's Michael. Do you mind if I just ask you one question? Do you want me to get out of your way and leave you alone until you summon me? Yes. Okay. See ya.
Yeah.
I'll be right over here.
It's funny because nowadays you don't find that much of it either anyways, right? Like, you don't find people that come in and are hostile against salespeople.
Right.
The industry shifted so much where, you know, before people didn't want to give you their phone number because they were afraid to call you. Now they willingly give you the phone number and they hope that you call them.
Right.
And a lot of salespeople are not, right? But yeah, like, test drive centers, I think, would be a great idea. I don't know if I'm kind of cutting my job in half right now or, you know, hitting myself with the shovel here. But
no, you know, I don't think so. But, you know, as you're saying that, though, I think we need to be open on the back end of this industry in that. Today, you are a brand specialist. Tomorrow, you may have to be a test drive specialist. Like, we're so close to this idea that, oh, well, no, he was a car sales professional. He can't exist anymore because we got rid of car sales professionals. What are you talking about? Evolve, grow, shift.
Yep.
Adapt. Don't be so caught up on, yeah, but if I was a car sales pro, my trajectory would have been used car manager, and then it would have been new car manager, and then it would have been general sales manager. It's like, dude, throw all that crap out the window. We're all trying to figure this out. Have you ever lived in 2020 and beyond? Me either. So like, we're all going to figure this out. And what an incredible opportunity for all of us to say, hey, we actually have some input based on actions, behavior, mindset, talents, abilities, desire to learn, willingness to learn and take action. We have the ability to shape what our future looks like to a greater degree than any of our predecessors ever did, barring, you know, those that were the first employees in dealerships when they first existed.
Yeah,
I think that's tremendous. Exactly. Test drive centers. And also, you know, to that point, that kind of feeds into something that I've been thinking about, which is that dealerships might take a smaller footprint on the new sales side and a larger footprint in fixed and maybe, you know, used cars. But you'll see larger like service centers appearing because the showroom may, you know, turn into having one or two of each model or each trim in like one color. And you'll just have like iPads or some sort of device to be like, Hey, you heard it here first, by the way, if this becomes a thing, for crying out loud, like, you know, you know how they can like hologram in dead singers and stuff. And it looks like they're standing on stage. Like, why couldn't we do that with projectors where it's like, well, I want to see this vehicle in blue. You change the channel and that thing, the projectors like paint that thing blue right in front of you. They paint it red. They paint it whatever. And then
you say that because we have that at Audi without the projectors.
I'm out of here.
We have Oculus.
Exactly. That's probably even a cheaper solution to this whole thing. Just seeing it in a different, like, so we're cutting out some of the stuff that doesn't need to happen anymore. Because to your point, customers are much more qualified. They're doing research. They're watching videos. They're getting that emotional, like, oh man, this will look great in my driveway, and I'll feel awesome driving this thing. That the next step is they just need to walk through those doors and make the deal happen. Now, are you a proponent also in the vein of disruption of like speeding up the sales process, the financing process, the getting them in and out as quickly as you can, or how do you navigate that?
I give people timelines. So it's funny because when I was a manager, I had a client call me and complain that they were in my showroom for 20 minutes and nobody approached them. 20 minutes. It was on a Saturday. 20 minutes. I was in your showroom. Nobody approached me. And I said, man, like, that's a long time. Are my sales guys sleeping? So I went back on the cameras and I watched, and the client was in our showroom for a minute and 36 seconds. But that felt like 20 minutes to them. That was, and you know what? I don't blame them, because I walk into a restaurant. If I'm not greeted right away, if something happens, like, it feels like a lifetime. So the main idea is this, like, speeding up the process. I don't think we need to speed it up as much as we need to set realistic expectations. So what I tell my clients is this, guys, we're going to take the deposit. And then after this, you're going to go and see my finance manager. Within 25 to 35 minutes, you will be out and on your way. So do we still have enough time for this? Yes, no, maybe. And we go forward from there. Guys, I'm going to bring the car downstairs for your test drive. This is going to take 3 to 4 minutes for me to do. Wait for me by the front door. It's like, set their expectations properly, because that's all, you know, it's like somebody coming into your house for the first time, or you going to a friend's house and really having to pee, but not knowing where the washrooms are. Mm-hmm. And that feels like a lifetime. So it's like, do I tell them? Do I ask them? Like, is this the right time to ask them if I can use their washrooms?
You're bringing up something that's important in setting expectations, which also means that you need to be focused on what you're doing. I can't tell you how many times I've sat in a dealership and like that poor sales manager, that poor sales rep is getting pulled in 14 directions while they're trying to do something. If I say it's 4 minutes, that means if you're listening and you're like, yeah, this sounds great, well, guess what? That means that you actually have to deliver on the 4 minutes. If it's not going to be 4 minutes, tell them the actual time. If you know that you're scatterbrained and you're going to walk to that office and then you're going to allow someone to sideswipe you, and now you found yourself looking for a key in your office when you were supposed to be going there and back, that's on you. But you got to make sure that that can't happen. You got to set real expectations.
Yeah.
Love it, man.
And it's funny. It's funny because when you tell somebody 4 minutes, if you are 6 minutes, it's still acceptable. You know, not to say that you got to take advantage of people's time, but just telling them that it's going to take this many minutes, because everything moves slower when you're in a different environment that you've never been to.
Right.
So, you know, every minute is, every second is a minute.
It's communication. So
that's communication. Exactly.
I'm Michael Cirillo, and you've been listening to the Dealer Playbook Podcast. If you haven't yet, please click the subscribe button wherever you're listening right now. Leave a rating or review and share it with a colleague. If you're ready to make big changes in your life and career and want to connect with positive, nurturing automotive professionals, join my exclusive DPB Pro community on Facebook. That's where we share information, ideas, and content that isn't shared anywhere else. I can't wait to meet you there. Thanks for listening.